All right. Good morning, everyone. I was glad to see Ray and our brother Horton today because we weren't sure they were coming. I said, Gwen, you got anything? But I thank God for that. That was a beautiful message. We see how the Holy Spirit is with us in all things. Paul's nephew heard was in the right place to hear what was going on. And then the Lord came and solved the problem, gave him, surrounded Paul with soldiers and everything. And as we follow God, we don't ever have to be afraid. God's going to always be there for us. We're never there alone. You know, he's always with us. And, we made it to chapter 21 last week, Acts chapter 21. Paul had just told them that he wouldn't be back, and they were in sorrow because they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. And in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had lunched, we came with a straight course to Coos. And the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence to Patera, and finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went abroad and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for the ship was to unlade her burden." So they were unloading the ship. "And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed." Now, they were still warning Paul about what would happen in Jerusalem.
Thurston, key thing there, too, talking about the rod and the ox, he's saying that he wrote, who said to Paul, through the Spirit. That's God talking directly to him.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. But Paul was determined. And they did say that. They said it by the Spirit of God. And, every time that I always talk about following God. But the times that the Lord told me something and I didn't follow through with what he said, I always regretted it. And it always was something that didn't have to happen. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I'm still paying for some of it.
Evidently, Paul learned because he knew what to do when the men were fixing to kill him. He went and told, tell this to the captain. He listened to God then.
Yeah, and you have to.
And he didn't just put it off and say, oh, they'll take care of me. Mm-hmm. He went ahead and got his nephew to go tell some official.
Yeah.
And the official knew what to do. Mm-hmm. So. He learned a lesson, too.
Yeah. And the Lord whatever he say, do, you have to mix just as much faith for something you don't like as something you do like. Mm-hmm. Because that's your rescue. If he say, do something, do that.
Yeah. Just because it's good, don't mean it's the best.
Yeah.
Because it was good for him to go to Jerusalem to do that. That was a good thing.
Yeah.
But it was not what God wanted. It wasn't his best.
It wasn't his best interest. He could have done a greater work somewhere else, I believe. But with that being said, if you go ahead and do something, the Lord will always make lemonade out of lemons.
That's exactly right.
I mean, you gave him lemons, so he'll make lemonade.
Because you stay with him.
But it's not going to be as good as the perfect obedience. You know, there is a permissive will, but it ain't half as, it's nowhere near as good as the perfect will of God. And that's what the Lord would tell me. You know, people can go off course for so long, but when you get in his perfect will, you can do greater works. You're in his wisdom. You're operating by his wisdom then. The permissive will is by your wisdom. It's just not as good. We don't have all the information that he has. And then I learned to relax in his will, because you can't figure it out. You just do it, and then it'll make sense as you obey. But you're operating in perfect wisdom, and the enemy don't know how to fight it.
That expands the rest of God.
Yeah.
The meaning of the rest of God, mm-hmm. what you just said expands it.
Yeah.
And just relax and do it.
Relax in it.
That's the rest of the rest of God.
Yeah.
That made that a lot larger.
When he first started giving me, in the early 90s, he gave me a lot of revelation. And, you know, being a young man, I wanted to do something. I wanted to preach. Not yet. Just learn from me. And he'd give me assignments. I'd do them. And then he'd teach me. Then he'd give me some assignments. I'd do them. Then he'd give me a period of rest. And I started noticing that he wouldn't give me anything to do. And then he started giving me a teaching again and prepare me. And he'd give me something I could handle, and I'd do it. And then he'd give me a period of rest. I said, now, this is wisdom. Before Jimmy Swaggart fell, he kept his schedule so tight. He was somewhere every Sunday. He never stopped and rested. And I learned from that. You know, I used to watch him every Sunday. And I love that guy. I mean, but when he got in trouble, he used the word in his heart up. Mm-hmm. And he got weak. And I learned from, now the way the Lord led me, I didn't know these things until later, but he would give me something to do. I mean, he'd teach me, give me an assignment, I'd do it, and then he'd give me a period of rest. And that's not how most people do it, but that's what I saw the Lord do in me. And so when I would take that message, follow God, I knew that the Lord would guide them in the way that's going to be best for them. And he never told me to tell them what to do. He always told me I had to share with mostly pastors to follow him. Follow the format he gives you. Don't try to figure it out. Just do what he say do and learn from it. And if Paul had done this here, I believe he would have done a greater work than what he did in Jerusalem. He ended up going to jail. I think he may have done works for maybe 10 more years before all this happened. But the perfect will of God is far better. And it's not something that a man can figure out. It's far beyond our intelligence. It's above our pay grade. Far above it. But the things you're going to learn obeying God, you can't learn in the university.
No.
And but the things you learn in the university can be used, but the things you learn from obeying them is much greater. And I noticed that people who walk in love learn the most from it. They have the greatest conversation. I mean, they say some of the most in-depth things because they've been in his presence. And Paul took a turn here. All right, now, when you're a man like Paul and you take a turn, all the people that look to you will think it's okay to make the same turn. And that's why the Lord had me, he told me these things, but he also showed it to me. If the leader don't follow me, the people won't follow me. Very few people will just obey God beyond that leadership. The word said, it never said look to the leaders. It always said looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. A football player with talent, he's got the talent, but the coach is going to bring those talents out. And he's going to keep growing, and he's going to end up in the NFL. If he listens to the coach and keep endeavoring to do what he's supposed to do. Everybody that succeeds, they have to learn to listen. And if you learn to listen, you can grow where you need to. And some people say, well, I'm so good I don't have to listen to the coach, and they never make it, even though they had great talent. But when you learn to listen to the Lord, you can't get a better coach.
Amen.
And then all the people that he used to help you, they will say what you need strategically. In your prayer room, he's going to give you, you know, in your heart, he's going to tell you what to do. And then you have a vision for it. On the inside, and when you go as you go out in life obeying him, he's going to cause people to say what you need at strategic times. They're going to
God don't just leave you out there by yourself. Mm-mm. He encourages you, directs you, and shows you.
Mm-hmm. And they won't always be people you look up to, But he'll call somebody to say, one of his people that's washed in his blood, to say what you need to hear at that time. But while they're under the anointing, they'll say it. Now, if you hold a conversation when they're not operating in the anointing, they may tell you not to do it because they have no vision for what God has in you. I can't see the vision that God has for Nick. I just know it's good.
Amen.
But whatever God tells Nick to do, he has vision for it. And under the Holy Spirit, I'll say, do it. But don't ask Thurston, because Thurston don't know.
Unless God gives you a word of knowledge from me.
Yeah, now that's the anointing. That's going to work.
But that's still not Thurston. Mm-hmm.
That's
Spirit.
That's far beyond Thurston.
The Holy Ghost is here. They're doing it through his soul.
Mm-hmm.
From his spirit. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, say something along those lines too. There's no telling how many times in my life through the Word of Faith magazine that I'd get my answer. I mean, I'd read an article in there and it'd be like, you know,
it'd make all
talking about the anointing. I, you know, mm-hmm. when they was writing that, they was.
That's how it works. I was talking to a guy, I believe he was the Lord had called. He had just started operating in the prophetic ministry. I believe he was a prophet. We were in the yard. He was helping me work on a car. And James said, the Lord just told me, you got some words right in your house. And we went in there and we got the Word of Faith magazine and one of Kenneth Copeland's men. We started reading them. And they ministered to us for what we needed right then. But that's how the Lord works. He's going to confirm what he puts in you. And communing with the Lord helps us trust him. You know, people don't trust people with their lives unless they know them, even if it's God. You got to know him. If you know him, then you're going to trust him with your life and stick with the perfect will. What kills more visions, I believe Christians kill more visions than Satan do. Because when the enemy make you attack you with doubt, you try to get solace from Christians, and you ask them questions that you should be asking God, and they tell you not to do it.
That's
good. Uh-huh. So they let all the air out. You just always remember the perfect will is always every day under attack. And you got to fight to stick with it.
Amen.
You got to contend for the faith to stick with it. And when if it's a hard word is something I'm not used to. If it's like that, then I study what God said, and I ask him all the questions I can think of, like Gideon did. When Gideon put out those fleeces, he was trying to strengthen his faith. Now, we don't put our fleeces, but we do ask the Holy Spirit our concerns. And then when the concerns are filled with faith or replaced with faith, then we're stable enough to contend for the faith. It's under attack. The world's going to try to attack it. Christians that don't understand are going to try to attack it. Satan's he's using both sides to get you off balance. And then the permissive will, it always seems more convenient. It always seems more convenient than the perfect will. And that's where the church is now, because the Lord showed Pastor those doors. It takes faith to walk through the doors. You're going to have to leave your comfort zone sometimes. You'll be challenged. But by your faith in the Lord, you will win. We are not losers in Christ. You can't go through it. You can't obey God and walk through a door and then fail. You can't obey God and fail. You can't do the perfect will of God and fail. It's not even possible. It's nowhere near possible to obey God and go out broken.
Because God can't fail.
You can't.
If you just do what he tells you to do and do everything he tells you to do, it can't fail.
Yeah.
That's right.
So when I, in content, I study the word so that I'll be endeavoring and on point with God, so that when he want to do something different to me, I'm ready, and it works. Okay, verse 6, and when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, and he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. So the Holy Spirit is talking again. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.
He's not totally ready because it did pass in his nephew to get him out of there and be protected, didn't he?
So even in their permissive will, God will work with. He will make lemonade out of them. That's the next best thing he can do if people won't cooperate with the perfect will. And now I'm wondering what would have happened if he had stuck with the perfect will.
Yeah.
What would we be reading right now? What kind of miracle would have happened? And the further you trust God and operate in the perfect will, whatever you do, finish it, because the greatest part of it is always ahead.
So this shows the sovereignty of God is like not most people call it. The definition most people think of sovereignty, like what will be and everything's going to happen. Because God's telling him directly, don't go.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't stop him.
Nope. Because he won't go against your
will. The sovereign God that wanted him to do something else.
Yeah.
Would have stopped him and not let him go.
Mm-hmm. He didn't order his steps.
When people call
sovereignty
the wrong way, definition of it.
Yeah. This had to be by faith.
Yes.
Every step you take has to be by your faith. By your faith. That's the way it should be. Not coercion, nothing but your faith. Every step you take in the Lord must be by your faith. And so that's God's perfect will. The just shall live by his faith. We advance the kingdom by our faith.
Amen.
We obey God by faith. And we trust him. Our trust is the next step of faith.
Amen.
So we learn him, we trust him, we obey him, and then we gain vision. And he once said that faith looks to God, pride looks within, and fear looks to man. And yesterday I said, well, Lord, what does trust look to? He said, trust sees God. And right over there this morning I said, well, what about vision? He said, vision is God. So when you have vision, you know you can trust the Lord. You can go forward. And as we progress in life, there's nothing impossible for us.
No, I agree with that 100%, right? You said mm-hmm. Being confirmed, you know, especially when God keeps confirming it.
Yeah, he's preparing for a mighty work. And I'm just glad we're going to see. I wish I had this revelation 20, 30 years ago.
That's why you lead a long life.
20 years.
People lead a long life because look at Joyce Meyer's, her ministry and women, they're older. But think how their ministry's grown. So
yeah. That's
why God wants you to live long.
Yeah.
Because he's put all this time and effort in you. They don't want you to retire at 65 and a preacher or any of us.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Oh,
so,
that's right.
That's what's good to
have
a long life.
Yeah, preachers don't retire. They just
they
obey.
The new concept has been the last few decades
is
retiring.
Mm-hmm.
People never retired before. That's a new concept.
Yeah, old people can slow down some.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, walking wisdom, God's
man. Some of the greatest book authors, you know, is over 80 years old. Has ever written a book in the history. It's over 80.
Yeah.
That's a new concept.
It is.
That's Satan's way of getting people out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that is good.
Convenience.
You say that again.
He always give you convenience. All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for moving in our lives. And I thank you for every plan that you have and every assignment that you give us. Help us to do it with flying colors. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
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 I like your flying colors. Something about sitting.